Om Guru, Om Guru, Om Guru. Jai Guru, Jai Guru, Jai Guru. Victory to God, victory to the light. It's a lovely time to be able to get together and honor Mother's life. Today, of course, is her Mahasamadhi Day. 28 years ago, Mahasamadhi. Samadhi, of course, is the merging of the consciousness into God. Maha means great. And so it is the great merging. It is what happens for a realized yogi at the last breath. The breath is released. There is a small nerve that is in the center of the brain that is snapped, and that releases the consciousness from the body and from the brain. Normally, when an individual leaves the body, they, if they have developed a little bit, go into the astral realms, and there they are met by a great astral being, their own Christ self. And with that light, they review their life and they learn from their experiences based upon the great light within. It can't be lied to. It can't be deceived. And then that individual goes on to live an astral life normally. If they are of not a good bent, and they reject the light, then they will go down into some dark regions. And that is where the notion of hell and damnation came from, is because they will continue to act out their dark inclinations until they're ready to be reborn again. Other individuals who have lived a better life are attracted to the light. They want to go to the light. And as a result of that, they merge into a new astral self. I say new in a advisedly way because it's actually always part of us. But they take on an astral incarnation and they enter into a family. And they learn just even as we learn here. Only we're a bit more refined generally in the astral realm than we were here. Because we've dropped the body and along with it so many of the things that bother us about a physical incarnation and all the draws of the senses. But there is the supersensory realm of the astral. And so it draws our attention and we love the beauty and we love the harmony that we find in the astral realms. If an individual is raised higher in life, then they enter into the causal realms. And this is a much more expanded version of the astral realms. There, the very notion of an idea can catapult itself into a creation. There's tremendous expansiveness, and the attunement is even finer than what it was in the astral. And so these causal beings have come into a very high state of consciousness. And then there are those who have completely released themselves from the physical, from the astral, and from the causal. And for them, there is no limit whatsoever. They enter into the pure spirit, beyond form, beyond name. They merge their being into the oneness with God. Now they can manifest as a body or without a body. It simply depends on how divine will operates through them in the moment. They are completely freed beings. They no longer have the law of cause and effect going on in their lives, and that they have to act out a certain role or have certain things happen to them because of things that they have done in the past. They've gone beyond that. And being a completely freed being, They are completely free to merge themselves and stay in the oneness with God or to take on a form on any level, on the physical, on the astral, on the causal. And they can alternate in between. Sometimes they can take an incarnation as a form. But forever and always, whether they have a form or not, they are merged into the divine spirit. There is no real separation there. For such a one who has achieved that state of consciousness while they are still in a body, they enter into Mahasamadhi. They don't go through the in-between stages, but they go directly into spirit. There are a few from the autobiography of a yogi who would achieve that state. Swami Pranabhananda, saint with two bodies, was one, as Master identified him. The other was Ram Gopal Mazumdar. And he was the one who witnessed the promise from Babaji to Mataji that he would keep a body, an incarnation, for many years to come, and whom Master went to see even after he had met Sri Yukteswar, because he felt dissatisfied with having to go to school and enter back into the world in that way, and was hoping to circumvent that. God was not going to have anything to do with that, and he sent him back to Sri Yukteswar as he needed to be. And for all of our benefit, the mother had achieved that state. She had achieved that union, that sahaja samadhi, and had merged herself into oneness with God. So when she released the body, I mean, just imagine in your own mind that you've come to the end of your life. Everybody does. And it's actually a release when the time is right. It's a welcome thing. It's like having an old car that's finally kind of on its last legs and you're ready to give it up. And then you're ready to give up this body. It's served its purpose. And it doesn't make any difference what age you are. There are many great saints who left the body early on. Jesus, when said he was 33. So many others who were younger. So it's not just a product of age. But it's when you are ready. And just imagine breathing out your last breath, and with it, you expand out without fear. You merge into the light. You see that light at the third eye point. And you rise up to the top of the head and you exit out of the body. And it's wonderful. It's freeing. It's expansive. It's peaceful. It's joyful. It's filled with light. You're going home. You're merging into your true self. You don't have to split your attention between the material and the body, this world, and that spirit that you have become one with. And so you exit out of the body, you breathe your last, that tiny nerve in the center of the brain snaps, and you are released, you are freed. Now sometimes people imagine that they lose awareness or consciousness of the world or those that they are leaving behind. But how can this be when you're emerging into all consciousness that is a part of everything, of everybody, of every place? If your mind turns towards an individual or certain individuals, then you are instantly connected to them. You know their thoughts. You know their quality of being. You know who they are in that moment. And so you do not think that it is a lack of freedom, that you are missing anything. You are merging and becoming one with everything that is. And so you breathe out, you expand. There's no limit, there's no form. There's nothing to constrain you whatsoever. This is the greatness of a Mahasamadhi, the great merging of the individuality into the universality of God. And this is what Mother did on this day. I wrote a posting today for Mother, and I wanted to emphasize, as she oftentimes did, her humanness. Because it is difficult oftentimes for us to imagine having divine consciousness and at the same time being a part of this human world, this play of God on the material plane. And it's Mother's 28th Mahasamadhi anniversary. Lost in the common life of all which lives. There are so many things that I love about what Mother brings to the path of realization. A big part of her focus is the practical approach she practiced and taught. You do not have to move to Kathmandu, shave your head, sell incense on a street corner, or do any of the 1,000 other questionable things. And while I would have been willing to do any or all of these things if they were necessary to realize God, Mother taught us to practice Kriya Yoga, keep our minds on God, always, remain in the world, living lives as most people do. A quote I read many years ago from the Bhagavad Gita made a lasting impression on me. This comes from Chapter 5, the Song Celestial. Whoso is fixed in holiness, self-ruled, pure-hearted, lord of senses and of self, lost in the common life of all which lives, a yogi yukt, he is a saint who wends straightway to Brahm. Such a one is not touched by taint of deeds, not of myself I do. Thus he will think who holds the truth of truths. The notion lost in the common life of all which lives, living a normal life, yet spiritually freed, perfected, and established in the truth of truths, I found this to be so inspiring down through the years. I remember Mother inviting me out for lunch to one of her favorite restaurants, the Legend Room. It was a nice restaurant connected to the Bon Marché department store in the Northgate Mall. The wait staff were very pleasant with Mother, and each time her nearly full cup of coffee became cool, they brought her a fresh cup. Mother always liked her drinks either very hot or cold, nothing tepid. We then walked up through the department store. Clerks would say, "Hello, Mrs. Hamilton." Mother said she once wondered how clerks remembered her name. Then she realized it was because she used a credit card to make purchases, and her name was on the card. So much has changed in the world since then. At that time, it was rare to use a credit card. Mother is also the first person I knew who had a home answering machine. She was, well, modern. Now, those clerks may have thought that Mother was anything from a good customer to having a feeling that she was really someone truly special. There were no big signs above Mother that said she is an incarnation of the Divine Mother. In fact, Mother enjoyed meeting people and getting to know them on their own terms. She also enjoyed having her privacy. She did not need or want to be kowtowed to. Mother was lost in the common life of all which lives. When Lari Mahashai first met Babaji, the Master said, Lahari Baba needed purification and immediately got to work. Lahari Mahashaya commented, "Babaji's practical wisdom, I reflected with a quick, reminiscent smile, was ever to the fore. We could easily imagine Babaji walking a few feet above the ground, haloed in light and never quite human. It is interesting to think that on meeting Babaji, we would be impressed by his practicality. I know with Mother, I was always struck by the firmness of her step, not a few feet off the ground, but solidly treading to her next destination. Mother once told me that she had made a mistake in her checkbook. Fortunately, the error was in her favor, so she is all right. She is not going to be bouncing future checks. I think what is important about these observations is that while Mother was the most spiritually powerful person I have met, attained the rare Sahaja Samadhi, the highest realization of God, she raised the dead and healed the sick and had the capacity to lift devotees into God consciousness, she also lived a human life and enjoyed it. We can all relate to shopping, enjoying a good restaurant, and making a checkbook error. These are everyday events that, to Mother, were all part of knowing that the world is God, and she experienced it in common ways we can all connect with. This does not lower Mother down to a simple worldly person. Rather, it lifts us up to her view, her realization of the divinity of life, all of life. Mother worked outside the home. She is the first woman manager for the telephone company. She married, raised three children, and had surrogate children, friends of her children, who came to her house and were so comfortable they called her mother. Mother had concerns about money, a challenging relationship with her father, the kind of things we all interact with on an everyday basis. Mother not only stressed being practical in this world, but she openly proclaimed her humanity as well as her divinity. As Mother said, and this comes from a talk from 1970, The Christ Within, "When man knows the truth, he indeed shall be free. And the truth is that you and your Father are one now. You always were, you are, and you always will be. How can you doubt it? When there is none but He everywhere, it is He, it is He. Open your heart now. This is the highest truth that can be taught to you. To do good, to see good, to purify yourselves in God. All of us fall flat on our face every now and then. I've read you a few of my own the other night. I thought afterwards, you know the human part of me, I shouldn't have read that. It might create a bad impression. And I thought, well, it's a good example. You see, on the way of man, or rather, of man on his way to the infinite, because there isn't anybody who doesn't think a wrong thought or make a mistake in the whole universe. And the greatest saint, the greatest Christ, the greatest anything that ever lived, was born in a human body, and therefore they made mistakes before they became one with the divine within themselves. It is true. But as long as you keep your love for God, and you pick yourself up, and you keep on trying, you can make it. And you know that's true because you have, many of you, watched me do it. You have seen it in operation. And if I can do it, being the smallest one in the world, then there isn't one of you here or anywhere that cannot do it. You can become pure. You can become holy, beautiful, wonderful, filled with joy and laughter. But when you're with Him, you're anything He makes you. And sometimes you cry for yourself because you are weak. Sometimes you laugh, you take joy in yourself, you love, and this is God. This is what Mother brought to us, practicality, a human perspective, and total realization of God, perfect for the modern Westerner, a perfect message for all. On this January 31st anniversary of Mother Hamilton's Mahasamadhi, and a celebration of our Divine Guru's life and mission, let us honor Mother by removing all false barriers between ourselves and God. Let us live the message she came to deliver when she took incarnation, that life is God and God is life, all of life. Discover your divinity within and without, and be lost in the common life of all which lives. I want to announce also that we prepared a booklet of a talk that I gave from Mother, and that Kate has made up some copies of it. It's also being put up on the website. We had a little delay in it getting put up on the website, but it should be, if it's not done already, it should be done soon. And I want to read from that pamphlet. In celebration of the 28th anniversary of Mother's Mahasamadhi, and this is my introduction. There's been a flurry of work getting Mother's talks transcribed and checked for accuracy, with the eventual aim of publishing her talks in a series of books. As we have gone into the later dates of her sermons, the late 1980s and early 90s, there have been some talks in which Mother and I both gave a talk for the same service, as Mother was too weak to talk for very long. Then, early in 1990, Mother said she is going to retire as a minister. While we are used to ministers retiring at some point, and Mother is definitely Master's ordained minister, still it came as a shock for a guru to retire. Even could she? What Mother was retiring from was giving talks weekly, something she had been doing with some breaks for 40-some years. Mother was not strong physically and, among other things, a weak heart. I think her family was encouraging her to lighten her load. Of course, Mother could never do anything unless God directed her. So we know that it was God's will for her and for us. The morning she announced she was retiring, I gave this talk. I sought to put into words what Mother meant to me, to all of us. In truth, words can only hint at the impact Mother had on so many lives. But you know, we do the best we can to convey what is in the heart when speaking of one's own guru, the most important person in a devotee's life. I'm not unhappy with what I said, but it seems so inadequate to the task. As I read back through the transcript, what I am very happy about is that I said all of this to Mother while she was sitting right there. There are many times in life we do not say the most important things to those we love. When Master tore loving words from Sri Yukteswarji, you could feel that it was painful for Master to put into words what was in his heart. I think this is true for many of us. Mother gave me this opportunity to honor her while I had time to say it to her directly, to say it to all. And now, through publishing this transcript for Mother, publishing through Mother's transcript, Mahasamadhi anniversary, I can say it to her again, and to you, how precious and life-changing my guru was and is in my life. I know she continues to inspire and being a loving presence for many, that she is ever pointing the way for those who have the courage to follow, to merge and to become one with her and her infinite beloved. And this is the talk, Loving Service, a tribute to Mother on her retirement. Something that I read on New Year's Eve I think is so beautiful, I'd like to read it again. It's written by Simeon, the theologian. He lived from 949 to 1022. We awaken in Christ's body as Christ awakens our bodies. And my poor hand is Christ. He enters my foot and is infinitely me. I move my hand, and wonderfully, my hand becomes Christ, becomes all of Him. For God is invisibly whole, indivisibly whole, seamless in His Godhood. I move my foot, and at once He appears like a flash of lightning. Do my words seem blasphemous? Then open your heart to Him, and let yourself to receive the One who is opening to you so deeply. For if we genuinely love Him, we'll wake up inside Christ's body, where all of our body, all over, every most hidden part of it, is realized in joy as Him. He makes us utterly real. And everything that is hurt, everything that seemed to us dark, harsh, shameful, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, is in Him transformed and recognized as whole, as lovely, as radiant in His light. He awakens as the Beloved in every last part of our body. I really think that's a magnificent reading. Loving service. I would like to speak this evening on loving service. When we think of loving service, we think of our great Guru, for she has embodied loving service every minute of her life and in every thought that she has in her mind. Possessed of nothing but a thought that a desire for God, she sold everything and went to India, gave every last penny so she might sit at the feet of the great God-man, Swami Ramdas. And there He bestowed her with the power to be transformed, transformed into her Christ self, transformed into her God self, and bring forth as a blessing to the world the message that God is within us, and that within this holy temple of our bodies, the Christ seed is born and travels up the spine and the brain and puts us through many experiences until at last it raises us up so that we may meet God face to face and find Him within our own consciousness, within our own hearts, within our own bodies. When I first came to Mother, I felt lost and confused and was searching. In her, I found a vast ally. Not knowing what the term guru meant, not really knowing what a guru-disciple relationship was about, I went forth in faith based on the power of God that I felt within Mother. In the words that she spoke, within the movement of everything that she did, as I was leaving my first meeting with her, I walked to the back of the room where she hugged everyone as they left. After receiving my hug, the next thing I knew, I found myself sitting in the back seat of a car and I was transformed. I was lifted up. I felt as if I was 1,000 miles away. There are those that had gone there with me who were talking about going to get ice cream afterwards. But I felt myself totally removed. I felt the power of God and Mother through that experience. And though I did not understand much, yet I wanted to follow after her. I wanted to discover the source of this power, the source of this amazement that I had felt within myself, and that I never once been disappointed. We go through many disillusions. We go through many misconceptions about God realization, what it is, what it is not, about the Guru, who they are and who they are not. And yet, in learning more and more about what a true God person is, my understanding gained depth, has gained the realization that Mother is truly a hero, hero in the noblest and most virtuous sense. She has blazoned paths when there are very few who are willing to take on the challenge. She fought against organizations when she stood alone as one individual, without any help, without any guidance, trusting only in her own intuition, only trusting in the guidance of God. She has carried on perfect, loving service to God and to her Guru for so many years. Many times alone, many times with only God as her guide, many times facing disappointment from all of us, many times fighting against our own group, fighting against those of us who would say that we want to follow after God. We want to know God, and yet when we start on the path, we begin to resist. We feel ourselves aligned with God at times, and at other times, as if in a vast desert, not knowing who God is, not knowing what the direction to go. And there our teacher has been. Mother has been there for us, able to give advice, able to give us inspiration. But the greatest thing she has given us is her example. Seeing her stand up here at times, shaking like a leaf blowing in the wind, barely able to stand. And yet she has brought herself here to serve all of us in whatever capacity she can. What greater marks of heroism is there than that? To follow the things that you believe with in all your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, all of your strength, and to never waver in that. This is the greatest mark of heroism in my mind, and it is embodied in our own Guru. There are the true teachings, those of example, the footsteps that are trod surely and nobly through this life that we can depend upon. Mother has faced all of the same doubts, all of the same worries, with all of the same frustrations that all of us encounter in this life. Yet in the noblest way, she has struggled through every time. She has given everything that she has. She has a tremendously powerful will, and she uses it to conquer those inner problems that keep us at bay from God. At every moment in her life, she has sought to serve God. And for what profit? You know, it amazes me to look at some of these TV preachers and some different teachers with vast memberships, receiving vast amounts of money, vast amounts of fame and power. Yet Mother, in my estimation, bringing such a powerful message, such a saving message for me, and I know for others, has served without ever charging a thing, without ever advertising, but by word of mouth from one to another. In our lives, I wish that we would follow in her footsteps, just a little bit, that we might be able to use our will and our intelligence and the gifts that God has given us to every advantage, even as Mother has, that we might be able to see the sacrifice and the love and the generosity that this one person has given to God. Believe me, even though our numbers today are small, I know that there are thousands who have been influenced by her life, and that there are individuals and souls all over this world who have benefited because she has walked this earth and because she has demonstrated in her life the tremendous realization she has attained. I remember her 80th birthday. We sent out invitations to individuals around the world, and they instantly sent back letters of love and gratitude, letters of good wishes that she might have a wonderful 80th birthday. Wonderful are the stories of her encounters with those different souls, these different great saints that she met in this lifetime. Wonderful is the counsel that she ended up giving them, even many times taking them further along on the path than they'd gone up until that point. Wonderful was the day that she raised a man from the dead, and today he yet lives because of the grace of God within her. And wonderful was the day that we met Mother, a pivotal day that changed our lives. I think about my life sometimes and wonder, what would it be like if I hadn't met Mother in my life, if I had never met her? And the alternative pales into insignificance when I think about what my life might have been I think about the times that I feel God's love and His bliss and His joy and His presence, that I feel God's love and His bliss and His joy and His presence inside of me and all around me. This is all a gift from Mother. I think about those times when I feel inspired by great thoughts, by great saints, and indeed, this has been a gift from Mother. And I feel the purpose in my life. And I think what a vain life my existence would have been if she had not entered into it. I could watch football games, I could work, perhaps have a family, a home, yet all of these things would seem simply empty without the presence of God and Guru in it. I think about those tremendous experiences I've had in going through the mystical crucifixion. I think about the powerful things that God has done in my life, the realizations that I've had through my experiences. And not one of these would have been possible without Mother entering my life. I am sure, as each one of us examines and thinks about our own life and how it has been changed and how the powerful current of God within a single human being can change us, transform us, lead us in a new direction and to new heights that perhaps we did not even know existed, that there are new directions that we didn't even know about. It is all there. It is all said in that one thought, that in loving service to God, Mother has served us all and given us a gift which is beyond measure, which is beyond money or fame or any of those other things the world has to offer us. Excuse me. Sometimes people have asked me, is Mother famous? When I talk to them about her, I say, well, she's famous to a small group of people. And indeed, that's true. For the people who love and follow Mother, there is perhaps no greater person in this world than she. For the people who have benefited from her loving presence and the bent of her powerful mind, there is nothing else that can truly compare to the guru-disciple relationship. I remember many years ago, as we sat in a pizza parlor by Lake Union, there was a whole group of us, and Mother turned her attention to me, as she could do, and I've been with her and seen her do that when she's done it to others. She totally encapsulated the two of us, and I'm sure that no one could hear us even if they tried. For I have been in situations where his Mother has talked to others. And even though I sat right next to her and could hear her voice, somehow the words were obscured and I couldn't make out anything she was saying. So she turned her full attention to me and she looked deep within my soul. It's never been uncomfortable when Mother has looked deep into my soul. And she asked, "Why don't you love me totally?" I knew exactly what she was speaking about. Once in my late teens, I'd been hurt by love, and I vowed that I would never allow myself to be that open to hurt again. So I told my Mother my story. She said I would never attain God unless I learned to love completely. So I vowed at that moment to love God completely and to open myself to hurt if that's what it would take, in order to do that. And another time, when we were again in this group, and she asked me, "What are you going to do to pay for the air that you breathe?" Well, that's quite a question, and I had no means of answering it. But it set me to thinking. It set me to think about this world, about all the wonderful gifts it has given me, and about this life, and not just a random happen chance, but that it has an exact and specific purpose, that it is up to me to use my talents, my energies, in order to attain something beautiful for God, so that when I leave this body, and that might be at any moment, who is to say, that I can meet God face to face and feel good about the things that I have done, that there might be something, maybe just one thing, that is worthy of Him, the Creator of all that is. And so at these different junction points, Mother has challenged me. She has put before me tough questions to open up growth for my soul. Tonight, I guess she has laid down another gauntlet for me, complete and total service to God, which I committed myself to when I was ordained with the title of minister and reverend. I feel so deeply inadequate to perform this kind of service, yet I trust in God to step forth, hoping and praying that His presence will guide me in whatever direction I go, that Mother's presence will be with me always. Of this I am sure, and that the wisdom that she has given me, the power and the voice of God that she has brought into my life, that I will never lose it, and that this that gives me the courage to take up this challenge, to take up this title, and to move forward in life. It is my greatest privilege to live in service, in loving service to God and Guru. And this I wish with all of my heart, that we may all lead lives such as the great example Mother has shown us, that we may inspire others to know God, to love God, to serve God, and become His friend. This, I believe, is the greatest gift that we can give. It is a gift that I wish for all of us to follow after Mother, that we may know God in all of His glory and all of His intelligence, that we may feel His presence surging through ourselves and in every cell of our bodies, that we may feel Him expand our consciousness and lift us up into the vast presence of His universal consciousness, and that we may know Him and someday be with Him and be so thoroughly intoxicated with Him that we will know nothing else but that spiritual consciousness, that we will forget body, we will forget name and fame, and we will forget everything except for that supreme consciousness. And having been risen up in that consciousness, we will feel our oneness with God and know that there is truly no separation, that there is only oneness, there is only oneness with blessed peace. There is only oneness with the divine life. There is only oneness in spiritual consciousness. This is my hope and my prayer for all of us who follow after Mother, that we may know this, and that in finding this, we will never forget the one who set our feet on the path, who gave us loving guidance through many difficult times, who instilled us with the power and the will to know the highest spiritual consciousness. This is our dream, a vision beyond which everything else in the world pales. Words fail me as I try to think of anything that might convey the amount of love, the amount of reverence, the amount of admiration, the amount of divinity that I feel for our Guru. Perhaps there are no words that can express it. Perhaps, as Mother once told us, the greatest gift we can give her is the gift of our own God realization. And this gift I wish for all of us, to lay the gift of our God realization at the feet of God and our Divine Guru. Mother, I want you to know that I think, this is Mother speaking, I want you to know that I think that all of you are wonderful souls, and it's been a privilege to serve you. I love you with all of my heart, and don't forget that if you ever really need me, you can always call me. I'll be sitting in my chair at home. May God bless each and every one of you, and don't forget how much I love you. So that is my thought of for honoring Mother, is to read those to the posting from today and the talk that I gave back in 1990. Time is a funny thing, because when I think back, that's almost 30 years ago now. And there's a time in my life when I thought 30 years was longer than I had lived. That must have been a very long time. And in a way, it has been a long time. There's been a lot of water underneath the bridge. In another way, it seems just yesterday that I was able to give honor to Mother in this way. I was so glad, as I said in the writing, that I was able to say this face to face with her. Because, as I say, so oftentimes with the people that are oftentimes most important to us, we do not say the things that are truly in our heart. But the sentiments remain true today. The aspiration remains true for today, that we might lift up our hearts and our minds and our souls with all of our strength, with all of our might, with all of our concentration, and that we may place ourselves at the feet of God. This is not just some abstract idea. This is not just some philosophy. This is a practical religion that we practice. This is something that is geared to give us an experience that transforms our life. This is the great message that I received from Mother, that I can do it. So oftentimes spiritual gurus, spiritual masters come, and as soon as they have left, the first thing that happens is they are put up onto a pedestal, and others are taught to worship that one, and are also taught that they could never attain what that one attained. And this is a sad thing when it comes to a God-realized soul, because they have come for the very purpose, because they have tasted of that infinite divine consciousness. They know how close it is. They know how personal it is. They know how real it is. And so it is not just following something in faith. It's not just following a vague philosophy. It is a realizable experience that you and I and everyone who's willing to put in the effort can experience deep in their own consciousness. I have been surprised down through the years, not so surprised these days, but initially, how real of a presence God is. How much it penetrates into the very cells of my own being. How it affects this physical body as well as the astral and the causal. And that is absolutely something that entails every part of your being. And that surprised me, I thought. I think sometimes we think when we're going to meditate, we're going to be lifted up and somehow taken out of this world, and there is a truth to that. But it also affects this very body, because this body too has to be purified. And this is one of Mother's great teachings. Is the purification of the physical body. That the body itself has to go through a transformation so that it can be a channel for super consciousness to come through it. Otherwise, it would burn you up. But as you go through that transformation, your capacity for higher and higher frequency energy and consciousness grows. You become stronger, with greater ability to be able to bring that consciousness down into this material physical plane. And so it is going both ways. You are being lifted up into the kingdom of heaven, and you are also manifesting the kingdom of heaven right through your own being, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So these are the things that Mother came to teach us. But most of all, she wanted us to know God, to experience God, and to become one with God. And in truth, this is the greatest way that we can honor her, is to realize God, our oneness with God, merge our little beings into our vast universal being. It is a wonderful privilege we have to be able to work and follow and to become one with God, even as Mother, even as Master, even as Papa were. We have these wonderful examples in front of us. We have the very best methods given to us. We have the very best examples before us. So, you know, we really don't have any excuse. It is just up to us, up to the decisions that you make day to day, moment to moment. Are you here to free yourself or to get more entangled with things? You have free will, you choose. But then you have to live with your choices. And sometimes we don't like that so much. Mother is beckoning us. Come, follow me. And if we are wise, we will heed her summons. Om Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Guru. Victory to God, victory to the light, victory to Mother within, that she might awaken us to the divine light and consciousness that is innately dwelling within each and every soul. Jai Guru, Jai Mother.